that, I'm telling you, this, what God is doing in this church and what he's doing around the world is, it's, well, he is coming back. He is coming back, and it could be today. It could be today. And if you're ready to go, give a shout. Yay. Well, as you know, this is a Christmas season, and but you know me, that I you know, just because it's a holiday, I don't always preach about that holiday. But I got a hold of something that rocked my world, so I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, tell you all about it, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. If not, I'll just preach to myself, and I will shout, okay? So you can get your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and I believe also Buddy's going to put that up on the overhead for us. Appreciate him doing that. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. There's a sometimes there's a tendency among Pentecostals and Protestant religion to play down the role of Mary, but this verse tells us that she was highly favored. But at the same time, please notice that the angel said that she was blessed among women, not above women. And I'm just saying this now. People often say, referring to Eve, that a woman brought sin into the world. But remember, it was a woman who brought the Savior into the world. Oh, yeah. Just snap on that. Okay, I got that out of me, so we'll move on. Woo! Thank you, Lord. So we read where Gabriel, the angel, comes and tells Mary that she's going to have a baby, even though she's a virgin. And notice in verse 3, now you got to remember this. Now, this is vital. Mary was a virgin. Don't ever let anyone tell you that she was not, because she was. And Mary said to the angel, "Well, how's this going to be, seeing I don't know a man?" And so the angel tells her, verse 35, and then go on verse 36 and 37. It talks about how that, he talks about the Elizabeth, your relative, and how that she was barren for all those years, and now that she's going to have a baby, because with God, nothing is impossible. But you know what? Some people go around saying, yes, with God, nothing is impossible. That is true, as long as it lines up with his word. He's not just going to willy-nilly grant your every request. If it lines up with the word of God, then he will, because his will is his word, and his word is his will, and he will carry out his word. And so, and then in verse 38, this verse reveals Mary's submission to the will of God. Even though she didn't understand it, she trusted God and said, "Be it unto me according to your word." We don't understand a lot of things that God's doing in our lives, But there's times when you just, I have done this and I give God the praise for it. Please don't think I think I'm all that, because I'm not. But there's times when I don't even know what the next step is, but I just say to God, I trust you. I trust you, because he's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. Can I just give you a little testimony? Oh, two of them. Real quick. I'll just make it real quick. Okay, so yesterday, like since Wednesday or Thursday, my computer just went black, did nothing. The screen gone. There was a little teeny light over here, but, and I'm going on. I held it down. And nothing. And I'm like, great, you know. So there's a scripture in the Bible that says when you're a widow that God will be your husband. You're not going to believe the nerve I had. But I went to God and I said, now when Jim was here, I said, now when Jim was here, he took care of that for me. and so I said, you know, of course I know, and I said, but I know you're greater. You're greater than Jim ever was. And that's the truth. He, you know, God is, you know, beyond anything we know. But I said, could you please send a techno angel to my house? The Bible says you have not because you ask not, so I needed a techno angel. And so I said, could you send one to my house? This was yesterday. And I checked the plug going into the computer. It was fine. Checked the plug going into the wall. Fine. No power. So I was walking around just doing some things, and all of a sudden, I think I accidentally kicked some cords that was laying on the floor, and there was two cords that were laying separate. And I didn't see it before because it was like all wound around, and I plugged them in, and power came. I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord. So if you ever need a techno angel, pray about it. And then last night, and I don't want to get ahead of myself on this, but last night, I'm asleep, and I'm in a deep sleep. Don't ever mess with my sleep or my food, and you will see a happy Sandy. But in the middle, I was out in the shed last night, and I don't know if something bit me or what, but I was waking up in the middle of the night scratching my leg, and just like it was, like I could have took a fork and scratched it. You know what I'm saying? It was one of those. And it was keeping me awake, and that makes me mad. So with like, I think I had one eye open, one eye closed. I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I curse this thing at the root. I call you plucked up at the root and cast into the sea, and you shall obey me. And so, you know, I woke up this morning, and that was it. I didn't scratch for the rest of the night. I'm telling you, we have authority in Jesus' name, and all things are possible. Y'all don't never even know what goes on at my house, I'm telling you. Now, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke 2 and 8, or Buddy's going to put it up here for me. But before I read this part of the scriptures, before you put that up, Buddy, let me say something first. This is something I came across that just is amazing. Did you know that for 400 years, between the time that Malachi was written to the time that Matthew was written, there was a 400-year span, and they called that the silent years. And they call it that because they said that God didn't speak during that 400-year span. Can you imagine going for 400 years not hearing from God? So after Malachi had ceased his, the Bible, I was reading this, that after Malachi had ceased his prophesying, the number of the books in the Old Testament was fulfilled, and the inspired prophet ceased to speak, God allowed a period of time for the teaching of the Old Testament to penetrate throughout the world. And during this time, I like this, he rearranged the scenes of history, much as a stage crew will rearrange the stage set after the curtain has fallen. And when the curtain rises again, there's an entirely new setting. If you've ever gone to a play, you know, you see this one scene, like if you ever go to Sight and Sound, you'll see a scene right in front of you, and then the lights will go dark, or they'll pull the curtain or something. And when they lift the curtain, everything has changed. All the backdrops, everything has changed. This is what happened the night Jesus was born. So for 400 years, God has been silent. Look how the scene has changed. Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That means he was the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It describes who he is, Christ the anointed one. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, remember, 400 years of silence. "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" The scene changed that night. It went from 400 years to silence to the skies lighting up and the heavenly hosts singing glory to God in the highest. Everything changed that night when Jesus Christ was born. The angel's appearance was that of splendor and glory. And the Bible says there was a host of angels, which means that was an army of angels. There was thousands upon 10,000s of angels in the sky. Hallelujah. And the Shekinah glory lit up the sky. And all of a sudden, these little shepherd men looked up, and the angels see. Hallelujah. And the angels were singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Woo! But this won't be the last time that the skies will light up, because the Bible says in Mark 13:26, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." Oh, hallelujah. He's coming. Jesus is coming. The skies lit up that night in Bethlehem for the rejoicing that he had come, and the skies are going to light up again, and it could be today when Jesus is going to split the skies, and all of a sudden we who are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the dead in Christ, they're going to rise up first, and then we're going to be right behind them. Woo! And the thing is, there is nothing on God's time calendar that says that he cannot do it today. The next event on the God's calendar is the rapture of the church. Whew. I'm telling you, well, things are happening. I don't know this Tebow. Is that his name, Tebow? I don't know everything about him, but I like this guy. Okay, so Ravens is my main team, but then it'll be Denver Broncos. Because this guy is making an impact on young people. Did you know that there was 4 young men and their school dropped and did a Tebow because they wanted to, you know, they were just, wanted to honor God, or just wanted to praise God, or would just acknowledge God. And do you know they suspended them for that? Oh, but they go to school and do drugs and alcohol and curse and do everything else. But these boys dropped and, well, let me just move on from that. I'm telling you what. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming, and there isn't going to be no educators. There will be no politicians or nobody that can stop him when he comes. Nobody's going to stop him. And you know what? It may be politically incorrect for Jesus to come. He don't care. He doesn't care. And let me just tell you this. When he comes the second time, when he comes to the earth and his foot splits the Mount of Olives, I'm telling you, I was there in that place. I was there. And there's a place at the Mount of Olives, and it goes right down into the Eastern Gate. And see, he's going to go down through the Eastern Gate. But the thing is, there is some other religion, Muhammad, that group there, they went and planted, put graves there. They put they buried their dead there because they said a Jewish person would never go through a graveyard. What is those people? No, the Muhammad people. Muslims. That a Jewish person would never go through a Muslim graveyard. But I've got news for you. When Jesus touches his foot on the Mount of Olives, he's going to burst open the Eastern Gate. He's going to walk in there because that's his domain. Oh, I'm telling you, let me tell you about this one named Jesus. He is awesome. He's not the little baby laying in the manger anymore. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. There's nobody like him. Woo! There'll never be another 400 years of silence again. Everything changed that night. And then later on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, and he has been with us ever since. Why did the angels get so excited? Why did they get so excited about Jesus being born? Because the King of Kings was born that night. The angels' message that night was one of reassurance and good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still known as the good news today. The gospel of Jesus is good news. And notice who the angels brought this most wonderful birth announcement to. It wasn't to the Jewish leaders. It wasn't to King Herod. It was to the lowly shepherds who were in the fields watching over the sheep. And we're going to look at this in Luke 2 and 15. You know, he didn't come to, the angels didn't show up to just anybody. They showed up to these lowly shepherds. Now, these guys, you know, they come to check out Jesus. And I'm going to just say, they probably weren't the most fragrant people, okay? Because they've been hanging around with sheep all day. And there was probably stuff on their feet. And this is who came. It was the first, from what we understand, these were the first visitors to Jesus. And if you ever say to yourself, well, I'm not good enough, and all of this kind of stuff, stop that. Jesus showed up to shepherds. He loves everyone, from the highest to the lowest, from the lowest to the highest. He loves everyone, and he proved it. So Luke 2 and 15 says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So what do these shepherds do when they hear the wonderful message of the Messiah? The first thing they want to do is they want to get there. They said to one another, let us now go. They didn't say, well, you know, let's sit around here for a little while. No. Well, although I can imagine they were probably like, wow, can you imagine? You're sitting on the hillside with some stinking sheep and you're just kind of mind your own business, you know. And all of a sudden, the sky lights up and heavily. We're not talking about 10 angels. We're talking thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels. We're singing and glorifying God. And they're probably like, wow. So, you know, they said, let's go see this that they told us about. And they found him, just like the angel said, they found him lying in a manger. And they were the first ones to see Jesus. And they were the first ones to share their experience everywhere they went. And they were the first ones to bear witness to the Savior of the world. And I guess you could say they were the first evangelists concerning the birth of Christ. But Mary kept all of these things. In verse 19, it says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And during all this time, Mary is probably a teenager. Most people think she's a very young teenager, like maybe even 15 or so. She's sitting in awe of what has just happened. She was told that she would bear the Son of God, and now the Messiah, God's Son, is born to her this night. She's been through so much, pregnant yet unmarried. The possibility of being stoned to death, rumors heaped upon rumors about her, the exhaustion of giving birth without help in a smelly stable, the visit of some rough-looking shepherd guys with an amazing story of the heavenly host proclaiming the birth of her son. And so she was tired. She was as weary and as exhausted as a person could possibly be. And it was a lot to take in. She didn't say anything, but she pondered all of these wonderful, awesome events in her heart. Women do that. We ponder. Yes, we do. We ponder. We see things. We hear things. Sometimes we don't always say things right away. And that's when the husbands look and go, what's wrong? And sometimes when she says nothing, that's a lie. And other times when she says nothing, she means it. She's just pondering. That was a little marriage lesson right there. Okay. Luke 2 and 20 says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. This was such a wonderful night for them and for us. And Luke 2, 21, it says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named to the angel before he was conceived in the womb. His name is Jesus. And when he was born, God shattered the silence. He had left man alone in silence, but now he shattered the uneasy silence with a dramatic entrance of his only son. And the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and has given him a name above every name, above all other names, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and under the earth. Let me just tell you, things under the earth has to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. And all these people on earth, one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So if you've got people that you know and they're very, they're like, oh, I don't believe in Jesus. You know, you just feel like saying, you will. There'll come a day that you will. Because I don't care how educated they are. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care how popular they are. I don't care how obstinate they are. There will come a day when every voice will ever that's ever uttered a sound will say the name of Jesus. And they will bow their knees to that name. Hallelujah. Some people say that Jesus' name is sweet and it's lovely. And that's true. It is. It is very lovely. It is very sweet. But his name is also very powerful. The blind see, the deaf hear, and people have been raised from the dead through the name of Jesus. I've probably shared this before, but I'd like to share it again. I heard Brother Shambach. Anybody know Brother Shambach? Mighty man of God. He told about going over to, I believe it was India. And he said that over there, there's a lot of different gods that they serve. I mean, many, many, many. And he said how that a woman came, you know, the people were kind of, they were sitting up in trees, they were sitting up on this big high fence, and they were sitting all around the place, but they were just watching him, you know, because they ain't got a lot of gods, you have to understand. So this woman came up, and I hope I'm telling this all right, but this woman came up to get prayed for, and she couldn't walk. And so he could sense that they were not, you know, believing him or not understanding how powerful the name of Jesus is. So he told his interpreter, he said, follow me, listen to me, do what I tell you to do. So he laid hands on this woman. He said, in the name of Muhammad, rise up and walk. And the interpreter was like, buh, 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 you know, he said, do it. So he said, in the name of Muhammad, rise up and walk. She just laid there. He said, in the name of Buddha, rise up and walk. And the translator again was like, you know. And so he's like, in the name of Buddha, rise up and walk. And the people were watching because, see, this is who they served. And then he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rise up and walk. And power went through her body, and she stood up on her feet. And when she stood up, those people that were in trees and in other places, they started leaping out and running toward the pulpit. And he turned to the interpreter and he goes, what are they doing? And he let them know they want to know about this one named Jesus. They want to know about this one that has power in his name. And the thing is, you, if you're a born-again child of God, you can speak his name. You can say his name. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You don't have to wait for me to do it. You don't have to wait for Tommy or anybody else. You could be a Walmart parking lot. You could lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the Bible says. There's no other name on earth by which you can be saved. No other name. If you're here this morning and you're a born-again Christian, like I said, you have the privilege of speaking the name of Jesus. But don't say it lightly. Don't just say, well, in Jesus' name. Understand the power that is in his name. That when you take your hand and you put anointing oil on you. The other day I didn't have any, so I used Crisco. But hey, and you anoint in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, all heaven backs you up. All of heaven is like, oh, Jesus, woo, you know. If you may say, well, I'm not a very strong Christian, Pastor. It doesn't matter. The weakest Christian in here can say the name, and he will be there for you. I want everyone to stand, please. I'd like for you to bow your heads, close your eyes, no moving around, no talking right now. This is God's time. The name of Jesus also means he will save. It means Savior. He will save. And that's good news this morning. The good news is that Jesus is here right now. See, it's not a mistake that you're here. You are here this morning by divine appointment. God knew you'd be here before the dinosaurs roamed the earth. He knew you'd be here. He knows everything about you. He knows everything you've ever done. He knows everything you've ever said. He knows where you've been. He knows where you were at last night. He knows everything you talked about. But you know what he says in Matthew 11:28? He would have me say to you this morning, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He loves you. And he also says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will in no means cast out. If you come to Jesus this morning, don't worry about him casting you out and say, no, you've done too much. Nope. He promised. He said if you'll come to him, he won't cast you out. And this is the one I truly love, this verse right here. Revelation 3:20. And this is Jesus talking to you this morning. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And I want to ask you this morning, is Jesus knocking on the door of your heart? If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, this day can be the best day of the rest of your life. This day. You can know you're as sure for heaven today as if you were already there. And if you do not know the Lord, or if you have known him and you have slacked off and you're not on fire anymore for him, you've let things get between you and him, he's knocking on the door of your heart this morning. He loves you. He's not mad at you. That's why you're here. That's why you came. You think you may have come for the drawing. That's not why you're here. You're here because it's by divine appointment. And Jesus is knocking. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And he says, will you let me in? And the thing is, the doorknob is on the inside. I can't open it for you. Nobody in this church can open the door and let Jesus come into your life. You're the only one that can do this. Is there anyone here this morning and you're saying to me, Pastor, I want to open the door of my heart. I want to open the door and let Jesus come in. I want to ask him to come into my life today. Is there anyone here and you would say that? We're not in a rush. This is eternity moments right now. Is there anyone here and you would say, Pastor, I want to ask Jesus into my heart and life. He's knocking on the door of my heart, and I just want to ask him to come in, and I'll serve him. I will serve him for the rest of my life. And if you're standing there thinking, but you don't know what I've done, it doesn't matter. He knows. He knows everything you've done ever since you've been born. And he said, I've got just enough grace to cover that. And I don't want to rush this because I want to ask you again, is there anyone here? And you want to say, Jesus, come into my life. I open the door of my heart to you. If you're there and you want to do that, raise your hand. Let me know. Just raise your hand. If you're back in a backslidden condition, raise your hand. We can pray with you and you can get right back up by the fire. You can get right back on fire for God this morning. there anyone this morning that you would like to ask Jesus to come into your life? Raise your hand. I would be glad to pray for you. I would love to introduce you to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay, at this time I'm going to pray the dismissal prayer, but don't leave because we've got a lot of stuff to do. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and being born in a lowly manger. Thank you that your birth announcement was given to shepherds. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for dying for us and coming up out of the grave victorious. And because you live, we shall live also. And Jesus, when you come back, if you come back today, I pray that you will find us worthy, Lord, that we will be ready and watching for when the trumpet sounds, that we will go with you. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today and they did not raise their hand, Lord, that you would deal with their hearts and let them know that you love them and that right now that they have time. I know you don't promise us tomorrow, but today there's time. And Father, right now, we just ask you, I ask you to bless this congregation as we go our separate ways. I plead the blood of Jesus over each one. I ask you to send angels to watch over us and keep us safe and bring us safely back at the next appointed time. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, just have a seat. We've got a lot to do, and it's exciting.